Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Welcome to a special edition of the Business of Government Hour, a conversation with authors. I'm Michael Keegan, your host and managing editor of the Business of Government magazine. For 16 years, the IBM Center for the Business of Government has sought to connect research to practice, sponsoring third-party research on a broad range of public management issues facing us today. For the next administration, the management of the federal workforce, including executives, will be a critical factor in the president's success. The president's political appointees will work with members of the Career Senior Executive Service, the SES, to direct the work and missions of agencies and departments. To accelerate the achievement of the president's priorities and reduce the risk of operational failures, such as the Affordable Health Care website rollout and Hurricane Katrina response, campaign transition teams and the next White House must make the management of executive talent a priority. The IBM Center for the Business of Government and the Partnership for Public Service are sponsoring a series of dialogues to inform the next administration about issues and actions that strengthen the long-term organizational capacity of our government, such as developing and managing executive talent. Today, Doug Brook and Maureen Hartney, authors of Managing the Government's Executive Talent, join me to discuss their report for the IBM Center, which offers recommendations based on a roundtable that focused on strengthening executive talent across the federal government. Doug, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Maureen, welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Doug, skilled leaders are a powerful determinant for organizational success. Why does executive talent matter for government, and why is fostering executive talent such a challenge in the public sector?
Well, when you think about it today, even as we pay attention to the presidential campaigns, presidents are all about policies, the policies that they champion, the policies that they want to put into action. And our contention is that policies are fine, but ideas are not enough, and that a president needs talented people to implement those ideas. So if that's true, then presidential transitions should focus early on recruiting and deploying talent to advance the president's policy and political agenda. And those leaders that they select, especially those who are presidentially appointed with Senate confirmation, hold such responsibility for formulation and execution of the president's policies that they really need to draw a lot of serious attention early. If you think about it, new presidents often lack the appreciation for that direct link between policy success and the need for sound management and capable people who can implement their policies and put their programs into action. And as a result, I think we can look at our just recent past and see that many, if not every, presidential administration has experienced some kind of unexpected management failure. Some of these failures have created political firestorms. They set back the policy initiatives. They undermine public confidence. And so we think it's essential for the next president during the transition and as well as after taking office to recruit and place talented political and career executives with management experience in these critical management and operational positions throughout the government. But moreover, we think that it's important that these senior capable managers are organized into effective senior leadership teams in the departments and agencies. So a focus on management by the White House and by the executive branch agencies, we think, is essential for the new administration to successfully implement its policy goals. It can reduce the risk of costly missteps, build public confidence, and make the government work.
So how do those challenges differ, say, than the private sector?
Well, I think there are similarities and differences. Probably the primary difference is that the leadership in the private sector doesn't turn over with the regularity that leadership in government does. And even if top leaders, CEOs, change, often the people who succeed them have come up through the organization as well. So the changes aren't quite as abrupt. On the other hand, the challenge is the same, and that is to have good, capable senior managers to carry out the mission of the organization, whether it's governmental or private sector corporation.
Maureen, to set context, would you explain the composition of the federal workforce? What is the size of it, the workforce, and how do political appointees differ from career senior executives?
Sure. Well, we know that in 2013, there were 2.1 million people in the federal government. And in our report, we focus on the federal workforce that exists under the purview of the leadership of the executive branch. And that includes that vast majority of that 2.1 million people. So the huge responsibility that the presidential transition team and the White House Presidential Personnel Office have is that they have to fill some 4,000 political positions, including about 1,000 presidentially appointed and Senate confirmed, so PAS jobs, and then about 625 non-career positions in the senior executive service. So that is a lot of jobs and a lot of people that they have to search for. So those appointees that the Presidential Personnel Office and the transition team have to look for work with the approximately 7,000 members of the career SES, and they direct and oversee those 2.1 million civilian executive branch employees. So you have all of these jobs, and within that presidential transition team, you're looking for the right talent to have that executive talent management. So in terms of the differences, political appointees are those leaders that the incoming administration can select, and they can fill those positions in the government that hold responsibility for formulating and executing those presidential policies.
What is the Senior Executive Service, the SES, and how many political appointees, SESers, and non-SESers comprise the federal workforce today?
So the career SES, there's actually about 7,200 members of them, and those are the leadership that stay within their agencies and positions regardless of administration change. So when we're talking about the presidential administration filling positions, it's not the career SES. Those are the people that stay within the agencies or within a functional area. And the presidential appointees will come in, and usually they change with every presidential appointment.
Doug, part one of your report presents insights and options for effectively managing executive talent that stem from a roundtable discussion with senior, current, and former government leaders. Would you provide us with a brief overview of this roundtable?
Yes, it was quite a day we spent together. I would not have missed it for anything. The roundtable participants were numbered about 50, and they were current and former political and career leaders, so former political appointees, former SES-level career leaders, some additional folks from staffs of congressional committees. We had some subject matter experts, some representatives of good government organizations, and a few academics. We were in a room together all day, and we were discussing five specific topics. These topics had been given to us by a smaller group that had met before to try to focus our conversation. So the five topics that we looked at were these. First, managing the career political interface. How can the incoming political leaders and the career SES work together and create teams? What kind of onboarding, training, other sorts of activities need to occur so that the relationship between the political new political appointee and the established career leader is strong? Second, looking at strengthening the SES. What is it that needs to be done to make sure that the members of the SES have the capabilities that are needed in the senior positions and also are recognized for those capabilities? The third was aligning accountability and incentives. If we're going to worry about management, then we need to worry about performance. And performance has a lot to do with providing incentives for performing well and being accountable for our performance, and those have to align. If the incentives and the accountability are not aligned, then you don't get the kind of performance that you need. The last two were, first of all, supporting talent management innovation. What new ideas can we develop that for instance, new models of hiring that we might replicate and scale throughout the federal government? Are there hiring flexibilities that could be implemented? Is one part of the government doing something well that we should be able to migrate over into other departments and agencies? And then finally, what are the enablers? What does it take to get these kinds of things done in government? What tools can the new administration use to meet these goals? What tools exist now, and what additional authorities or responsibilities would they need?
Doug, your report identifies five core issues related to effective talent management in the federal government. I'd like to explore each issue in some detail before we get into the framework and recommendations you both outline in your report. Would you elaborate on the importance of managing the career-political interface? And what are some of the challenges faced in this area? And what has worked in the past?
Well, it's not an easy question because the political appointee and the career executive come from different places. Political appointees are brought into the government, or at least into the executive branch, from the outside, and their task is primarily to implement the president's policies and to try to help make the president's policies. But seldom do political appointees have the kind of management experience that's required in the federal government. No matter what their backgrounds, very few political appointees have ever managed an organization as large and as complex as the ones that they find when they arrive in government. By contrast, the career senior executive has worked in government for an entire career, usually, knows how to lead the organization and knows the organization very well. And so what has to happen between the political appointee and the career executive is an artful merging of the policy leadership and good management. And so in our view, the most essential and challenging factor is to create strong leadership teams that involve both career executives and senior political appointees. The importance of doing so cannot really be understated, I think. And it's important for both sides to understand the challenge that each has in the organization so that they understand that they are not faced with the same problem. Political appointees, for instance, by definition, have limited tenures in their office. The average time in office for a political appointee is something just over 2 years. In contrast, the career senior executives may work their entire careers in the same agency or within one functional area. Neither group possesses the broad policy and political and programmatic and organizational knowledge necessary to manage the agency, but together, the political and career federal executives can manage highly sensitive tasks that require great skill, experience, and judgment. So they need sophisticated management and negotiation skills, and they need to be able to establish a means of working together.
So this is open to both of you, Maureen and Doug. Why is strengthening the SES so important for the success of the next administration?
Sure. Well, the senior executive service represents that career senior management in government agencies. So they're the ones that hold that corporate knowledge in either that functional area or the agency. And so they're uniquely equipped to help solve tough agency problems that, of course, happen all the time in government. So when you think about the senior executive service, again, there are over 7,000 of them. And a really key factor is that they've worked on an average of over 23 years for the federal government. So these people with all of that corporate knowledge should be empowered to help enable government successes. And we know that administrations have been thinking about strengthening the SES for a number of years. The White House, the current administration White House, has launched an initiative to help strengthen that, and that's called the White House Advisory Group on SES Reform. And then President Obama also this past December issued an executive order on strengthening the SES. But ultimately, the goal of the group that he formed, the executive order, and then, of course, part of our focus on strengthening the SES is to make the recruitment, hiring, and developing of the senior executive service a priority for the administration because they are so uniquely equipped to help solve problems, and they represent a large faction of the leadership in every agency.
Some kind of reform in the SES has been talked about for quite some time now. The 1974 Civil Service Reform Act created the SES with a pretty much of a romantic type of vision. The idea was to create something that looked as an American-style version of the British Civil Service. And the idea here was to take the super grades, the old GS-16s to 18s, and put them in the senior executive service, which was envisioned at the time as to be this group of super capable experts who would be highly mobile, that could be moved from agency to agency, taking their management and leadership skills with them wherever they went. And as things turned out, that isn't what happened. Most SESs don't move with that kind of mobility. And there really are at least two types of members of the senior executive service now. There are those who are in senior management positions, who are those broad-based organizational managers. And then there are many more who are in technical and specialized fields, holding the SES rank, but really can't be expected to function in that British civil service model. So once we recognize that, people who care about this have been thinking about what best to do with the SES to make sure that there's a good, strong pipeline into the SES for people with management skills. How can we develop those management skills as they move through their careers? And then how do we position them in the government, in the right organizations and agencies so that they can do their job?
Why is it so important to create a government-wide executive management corps? We will explore this question and so much more when our special edition of the Business of Government Hour, A Conversation with Authors, returns.